Amp Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. 2002 is our Throwback Thursday today. The Tuck Rule happened on this date. But the NFL playoffs continuing this weekend. Cincinnati heads to Buffalo Sunday to take on the Bills. Mike Petralia joins us, CLNS Media. He also hosts Jungle Roar, Cincinnati Bengals podcast. Check that out. Brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. How are you, Mike?
Tony, how are you?
Good. All right, let's go back to the game against Baltimore. How close was that? I mean, how, from a scoring point it was, how close were the Bengals to not being in this game against Buffalo?
No, I'd say very. I'd say if Jermaine Pratt doesn't hold up Tyler Huntley and Logan Wilson doesn't knock the ball into Sam Hubbard's hands, they probably lose the game. Their offense just had a very difficult time with the Baltimore Ravens defense and the looks they provide. And the Ravens, conversely on offense, play an offense that a lot of observers and NFL experts agree no one else plays in the NFL. It is very difficult to prepare for that. And I think it kind of showed for most of that game that the Bengals were unable to really dictate the tempo of that game, even on their home field. So for the Bengals to make the play when they absolutely positively had to have it and get that epic 98-yard fumble in the jungle return from Sam Hubbard that Joe Burrow was still texting him about on Tuesday really changed the complexion. And I think the Bengals feel like they're getting back to normal football this Sunday.
How this team, when there wasn't that long ago, or the it was a very, very short time ago, there was all this buzz about they don't win a playoff game at home, et cetera. Now those things are gone. They're the AFC defending champions. In that process of going from let's get that taken care of to where they are now, how do they handle this year where now Cincinnati is one of those teams people talk about as, if you're talking Super Bowl favorites, Bengals are now in the conversation?
That's a great point, Tony, because what they have said all along in the second half of the season, when everybody and their brother wanted to say the incredibly difficult stretch of games is going to kill them and be the reason they don't make it. Well, they flipped the coin on its head and said they got to play us. And they adopted that credo and really made a point to let everybody in that locker room know that we're not the underdogs. As they said yesterday to a man, the theme yesterday, we're underdogs to nobody. And I think that attitude of we believe in ourselves and we will make our own fate. The other team isn't going to matter. It's how we play. All those cliches, they've embraced them. And I think when you embrace them and then you play like that on Sundays or Saturdays or whenever the game is, you tend to build that confidence up to a level that the other team starts to believe it as well. And I think the Bengals have psychological advantages now going into these games that they know the other team knows. Even if it's a game on their home turf, the Bengals feel like they can go in and win. I mean, look at last year in the playoffs. They won at Tennessee on the last play of the game, and obviously they won in one of the very most difficult places to play in the NFL at Arrowhead in overtime in the AFC Championship, like the Patriots did 3 years earlier. They won in overtime to go to the Super Bowl. So the Bengals have proven to themselves they can handle the big moment.
What is about this game? What is there? What is some things that you think the Bengals can exploit, and what are the things that they worry about with Buffalo?
Well, I'll start with the back half of that question first. The clear worry is the offensive line. They have now lost three of their five starters. Jackson Carmen came in and did a pretty good job, an admirable job, a serviceable job, if you will, filling in for Jonah Williams, who dislocated his left kneecap late in the first half against the Ravens on Sunday night. So that is a big, big concern. Then you have Max Sharping stepping in for Alex Kappa. He was a two-time starter in the playoffs for the Texans back in 2019, and he handled himself very well on Sunday night. So I don't think there's a big concern there. And then there is Hakeem Adeniji, who, again, has done a serviceable job filling in for Lael Collins. That's the big concern if you're the Bengals. Can you handle whatever it is the Bills are going to throw at you in terms of a pass rush? I think where the Bengals have the advantage here is I think they can run on the Bills a little bit more than people expect. You saw a little bit of that in that first drive on January 2nd, the Monday night game that got canceled. You saw the Bengals able to do what they wanted offensively. And I just like Joe Burrow against the secondary. If he has time to throw, I think he's going to have a couple of big plays. And I think they're going to be able to use Hayden Hurst quite a bit.
In red zone, it was a big conversation about these teams. Bills turn it over in the red zone. The Bengals don't. They and not only that, their red zone defense is one of the tops in the NFL.
One of the things I'm writing about heading into the weekend, Tony, is about the red zone and why the Bengals' attention to details matter in the red zone and why they're so effective. I think they had a stretch of 18 straight scores in the red zone until it was broken late in the regular season. They pride themselves on doing the little things, and they have precise route runners and strong route runners in Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. When you have those three running in the red zone, it's very difficult for defenses to hold, to contain them for very long periods of time, and they're able to get open. And you have a quarterback who knows what throws to make in the red zone and what throws not to make. And I think that's why the Bengals are effective down there.
You talk about the offensive line. So I do want to get to one aspect, the running game. Does it, how is it utilized in Cincinnati when so much thought of the sort of Cliff Notes version is it's Burrow and he's throwing to these guys, but how much is Joe Mixon a factor in these games and how much will he be on Sunday?
Brian Callahan has said all along, and he repeated it yesterday when we spoke to him, running is not the primary aspect or feature of the Bengals offense. And it's just with Joe Burrow and the passing weapons, it's not going to be. But they need to be able to run the ball when they need to run the ball. Third and short, second and short, really second and short, because if you can run the ball second and short and then set up play action later in the game, that's when big plays really do happen. When you've got the defense thinking, oh, they're going to run it here, and then Joe Burrow has that much more time to throw downfield. The other area where running is absolutely critical is in the low red zone. The Bengals have shown that they've been able to run the ball effectively in the red zone, something really they didn't do last year. They've improved upon that quite a bit, both with Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine. I think that's a big aspect to look out for on Sunday.
I want to ask you this question, if you don't mind, and that goes back to a couple of weeks ago with DeMar Hamlin. And we focused a lot on the Bills and how they reacted to that and what they went through. But the Bengals went through it, too. How did they react to it in the days following that situation and even in the unknown of what that would be played out, which obviously now we're thankful it played out well. But in the initial hours when we didn't know, how did that organization handle it?
With compassion and thoughtfulness, I think they handled it incredibly well. They said all the right things. They made it about DeMar Hamlin. They made it about Sean McDermott and supporting the Bills. It was real. The way the Bengals played it was, and this comes from a sincere place. It's right, Tony. It's not.
Yeah.
It wasn't fake. It was very genuine and authentic. It was all about supporting the Bills. It had nothing to do with the game. The game didn't matter. And in saying those things, they said everything right. They didn't make any bad headlines out of it. That's how they handled it. And I think that the fact that they spoke from a genuine place, led by Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor, two of the vocal leaders of the organization, the fact that it came from a genuine place, I think helped the Bills and the Bengals both move on to a place where we're obviously very grateful DeMar Hamlin has improved. He may even be at the game on Sunday and provide quite an emotional moment at the beginning of that game. I wouldn't be surprised by that. But now it's all about football. It's about who's going to move on to the AFC Championship. And I think in dealing with it properly in the days after the event on January 2nd, they've been able to set the stage for football moving forward.
No doubt. It should be one of the best games of this week. And Mike Petraglia, CLNS Media. Also hear him on the Jungle Roar podcast on the Bengals. Really always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much, as always.
Always a pleasure, Tony. Have a good one.
You got it. Mike Petralia again joining us on our Progressive Guest Line. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, and we know the Bills Mafia is going to be loud. They're going to be raucous. They're going to be emotional. It's a trip to the AFC Championship game that is on the line, and they let every opponent hear it and all of that, and we get it. And we don't expect any less of an atmosphere. But I got to think at every roar and every excitement and every moment and every time that they look, they will see, as much as they love their team, a team on the other side that they respect. Respect for what they did and how they reacted to that situation as well. And the people of Cincinnati and the great care that Damar Hamlin had at the hospital, but the organization that just made sure that the Bills were taken care of from that game perspective. And I think that the Bills fans are very knowledgeable and very knowing about how Cincinnati reacted to it. So while, again, they'll be loud and raucous and, of course, trying to disrupt the Bengals in their pursuit, they will also have some respect for the Bengals as an organization for how they reacted as well.